Speakers, who is Paul?
Hey Steen, my name's Paul and I'm an addict. I'm absolutely frozen with fear sitting here. It's really, first thing I woke up this morning, I thought, oh, I'm doing a church affair. Chris asked me about 6 weeks ago, and I wish he hadn't asked me, you know, when they ask you weeks in advance, you know, it's like, oh, it's plenty of time to build up some fear, and I'm really good at doing that. And I kind of don't know where I'm going to kind of start with, you know, I've started quite a few, and I was talking to somebody over in Costa, and he said to me, you're going to forget everything as soon as you open your mouth, you know, like you're going to press delete. That's what I did, and there was a bunch of some other mate of mine over there, and he didn't know I was doing a chair, and he said, I feel really drained today, I feel really nervous, a bit tense, and he said, don't worry, you know, at least you haven't got a share. I don't know where I start, I just share and see how it comes out. I kind of share where I came from, and I'll try and condense it, you know, in 15 minutes, you know, don't need to know what Nike trainers I was wearing at what point in my life, and, you know, I'll just try and tell you the stuff that may be relevant. I come from South London, from a coal merchant's family. It's all kind of all men in their family, and it's very, you know, male-dominated family. It's all that stuff that, you know, to be a man, you didn't have feelings, you know, you had to be tough, and my granddad had quite a reputation in South London, in Brixton, as being a fighter in the pubs. My uncles did. There were some criminal families that my family's had links with, and I kind of thought, you know, that's what I wanted to be. I didn't think that was really me. I kind of feel like I'm quite a sensitive guy, but I had to kind of put that stuff on to fit in on the estate that I grew up in. It was kind of sort of the thing that you did, and I remember getting the first fight I got into. I didn't get into a fight, I got beat up on the estate. And I went home and I said, Dad, you know, I was crying. I said, Dad, oh, this guy's beat me up. And my dad's kind of solution, which was our family's solution, was he gave me a crowbar and he said, go and sort it out. You know, and that was, you know, I was full of fear. I didn't want to do that stuff, but that's kind of the stuff that I learned to do. And you know, you wasn't allowed to feeling our family. You know, it's kind of like, have that hard exterior, you know, don't have feelings, shut that stuff down. And I left home at 14, and I lived in Brixton in squats and in the laundry rooms in the flats. And strangely, I went through there yesterday. I just done another step four yesterday with my sponsor, and I went through there on a bus, and I went past a lot of those old places, the flats and the buildings that I used to sleep behind, where they had the warm air and stuff. And I remember I first used in a squat behind Brixton Prison, Kings Avenue. And the first thing I was thinking today, what was the first thing I've used? Because I always assumed it was alcohol. And from what I remember, it was a solvent. It was Evo Stick. It was my first solution to the way I feel, you know. And I kind of went through the range of drugs for over 30 years. Yeah, and I remember getting when I was 21, I used to, you know, run around with all the little gangs, you know, and the little criminals. I made a decision as a kid that, you know, I had no respect for adults, you know, they kind of let me down, you know, and I'm going to do things my way, I'm going to control stuff my way, you know, and I thought, I'm going to take the shortcut, well, loads of money, you know, that fantasy world. I lived in fantasy before I took drugs. I'd wander around the dumps in the 70s, you know, it's great. I've been a junkie before I picked drugs up, you know, I picked junk up, you know. Christmas was great when all the toys were thrown away and kids got their new toys. I picked stuff up, and I've been continuing to pick stuff up all my life. Even being clean, I still pick junk up. I drive past something, I'll go and rescue it. It's been abandoned. I still do that. It's probably not good. But so I kind of went for that range of drugs. And when I got to 21, I went into a detox. You know, I kind of thought I'd had enough. You know, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else with my life. This is really not what I want to do. But, you know, I saw my mates going down there, getting long sentences and things. I thought, I don't want to do this. So I went into a detox in a place called Bexley. It was like a psychiatric unit. This is in 87, the storm of 87, you know, similar weather we've got today. And while I was there, I went in there a couple of times, and the last time I went in there, I went in there for a 3-week detox, and I was in there for 6 months. And whilst I was there, I went to NA meetings, you know, and yeah, I went there for 6 months, but I was kind of the opinion, well, it's not me, it's got, you know, it's the, you know, it's the world, you know, you know, it's a painful world I live in, it's all your fault, trying not to swear. and I blamed everything other than me, you know, so I said, no, I'm going to go down the rehab route, you know, I'll try that, and I wasn't really teachable, you know, I thought I knew everything, you know, do it my way, you know, my will, do it my way. I remember being in the police station and thinking, when I was about 14, if it gets really bad, I'll always rely on God, you know. But I wasn't teachable, so, you know. And I did the meetings in there, and I didn't get it. So I went off to rehab, and it was up in Oxford. And while I was there, that kind of was like three-phase rehab, and I got to stage three, and you could sociably drink. Oh, great, you know. And I kind of started off, I had, you know, like on a Friday, I'd finish work and I'd go and have a game of badminton and have a pint of beer, you know, and that kind of worked for about 3 weeks, and then it kind of, you know, I drank more and more, and then my family came up and we was, you know, we went on a pub crawl, we were drinking scrappy, you know, and the result of that was is I got into a fight with a local gang and this van pulled up, I don't know the details, but anyway, I got into this fight and six people got stabbed and I was convicted of stabbing four of them. You know, I'd gone back to my old solution to dealing with stuff. And that's what I did. And I came back to London, and a mate of mine got shot. I came back to London and I tried to for 10 years. Right? And in this 10-year period when I came back to London, I thought, do you know what, I'm not going to get involved with my family stuff or the criminal stuff that they're doing. I'm going to try and live straight. I'm going to try and be honest, you know. And in that 10-year period, I worked. It's the only period in my life that I worked for a 10-year period. And in that period, I had 26 jobs because I was very unmanageable. And when I came around, I'd say to my mate John, I'd say, John, I don't get this step one. You know, I'm manageable. You know, I pay my bills. You know, I've got a flat. And I was very unmanageable, you know, I was in complete denial, you know, it sort of took all the steps to break on my denial, and yeah, 26 jobs in instant career yourself, and when I've gone through the step, when I looked at my defects, I'd never been sacked apart from one job. I ended up in Glastonbury for a week, tripping, you know, it was a bit of unmanageability for it. Yeah, and I left all my jobs on defects, you know, I'm too good with this, you know, my pride and my arrogance, you know, I kind of left all them jobs, yeah. And so I got to, I used loads of drugs, you know, all the drugs. I remember when I used kind of like alcohol and crack and, you know, and smack and that, for me was like that suit of armour, you know, because I had those feelings that I couldn't deal with. When I had that stuff in me, I remember the first time I took smack in a tower block in South London, I felt like a suit of armour, you know, like a ready bread glow, you know. But what it actually did is it stopped me being teachable because I kept everybody out. You know, I know best. You know, my saying was, I know. And actually, I knew nothing, you know. And I realised that when I came around. And I came around about 2 years ago. And I walked into a meeting and I was absolutely broken. You know, I was absolutely smashed to bits. I had hepatitis. I got a lung capacity of a 94-year-old man, you know, almost classified as antique. And I was broken, you know. I'd had enough. And I was in a crack house and I'm sitting there and I'd kind of come off I had a 15-year methadone script, I'd come off that and I had all these unmanageable things, I kept crying and I couldn't understand why all this stuff was going on, because in my head I'd say, once I get clean I'll be alright, you know, and over the last, sort of the previous 2 years I'd cleaned up a couple of times but I couldn't stay clean, I just couldn't do it and I didn't know why. And then I walked into a meeting, I was sitting in the crack house and saying to me mates, well, same people I used for years, you know, what can I do, I don't know how to deal with this stuff. And they offered me the same solution that they'd always had. Go and have a pipe, have a bit of gear, because that was their solution. They didn't know any other solution. And anyway, I ended up in a meeting. And when I walked into that meeting, I heard that message that you could lose a desire to use and you could find a new way to live. And I kind of felt I'd lost that desire to use years before, but I just didn't know how to stop, you know, stay clean. I didn't know how to do that. And what I did is I kind of listened, you know, I'd done that stuff. I walked into them rooms and I was absolutely broken and I kind of got this thing that I like to, you know, use pictures to paint words for me, because, you know, I came into the rooms and the way people were a bit, I felt you're very articulate, you know, you're talking this recovery language, you might as well be in Japanese because I'm not getting this stuff, you know. And I think in pictures and I thought, well, this, you know, I listened to people's suggestions and it was like the first suggestion was do 90 meetings in 90 days. And for me, that was like a really thin strand, you know, and it's something that I could build on, you know. And I plaited that. I made it into a rope, like a recovery rope, you know. I did that, you know. I got myself a sponsor, you know. I got some service, you know. I started doing the steps and all that stuff. I built up a rope, you know, to keep me out of that place, you know, that awful place that I found myself in, you know, doing things my way. And I kind of, you know, in the last 2 years, that rope is ropes, you know, like on the ships, they have to maintain them, don't they? You know, and there's times when I don't maintain it, it frays. And, you know, and if I don't maintain this stuff, you know, it's going to fray and I'll end up back in that desperate place. I've seen people do it, you know. So I have to do this stuff. And it's, you know, sometimes I say, oh, it's difficult. Thanks, Dean. But really, you know, when I think of it, it's more difficult living the life I lived. You know, it's a hell of a lot more difficult. So, you know, it's much easier to do this stuff. When I was 3 days clean, and Johnny, he was going on a train up to Houston, the convention, and he had one of these black key rings, and he was talking about this guy here, and he said, see this guy here, and he said, I said to him, see that key ring, it takes 1 day to get that key ring. You know, 1 day, and that seemed more achievable because multiple years to me was a way off, you know. I was a couple of days clean. I'm never going to get multiple years. You know, it just seems too far away. And it is, it's 1 day at a time. It's a daily programming, you know. And all these key rings for me, they're like little knots in that rope that's helped pull me along, you know, getting one. When I picked up my 18-month at Brixton, there was 62 years picked up in front of me, you know, and I watched that stuff. It's really important. And true to what John said, you know, if I continue doing that stuff in 50-odd days, you know, if I keep doing this stuff, I'll get one of them. You know, it will happen. And I was, yeah, it took me to Houston. And when I was there was two guys that took this meeting in 87. There's one guy called James and one guy called Robert. And when I was at Houston, I met one of the guys. He was 28 years clean, you know. He lives two streets away from me. It's quite ironic. And he does his stuff, you know. He does recovery, and he's, you know, he's nearly 30 years clean. And then when I was 4 months clean, I was outside this meeting, and I met the other guy called Robert. And I'm standing there, and I hadn't seen this guy for 25 years. And he's standing there, he's quite a firm boy, you know, cravat, big cigar, and I'm thinking, I know this guy from somewhere. Is it a film or something? I don't know. And I said, is your name Robert? He said, yeah. I said, did you take a meeting in Bexley Hospital in 1987, 25 years ago? He said, yeah. You know, and it was Robert, you know. And, you know, it's amazing. And he just does this stuff. He continues to do this stuff. And I've heard him share. And he said, look, Paul, I'm going to send you this simple text every day. And he does. He's done it for 18 months. And it's a simple text. He says, don't use go to meetings and love. And it's quite simple, you know. And for the love thing, it's been quite difficult, you know. All that stuff, go to meetings, don't use go to meetings and love, it's not as easy, but it's quite simple. And the love thing, I'm finding that out by doing the steps, you know, that's where the stuff that sets me free, by going for the steps, and, you know, and I'm doing that stuff, I'm doing it. And, you know, and Robert is, you know, he's 29 years clean, you know, yesterday. You know, this stuff really works, you know. If you're new around, like me, just do this stuff, you know. We don't have to. My sponsor, what I like about my sponsor is he never tells me what to do, you know. He just suggests, what he does is he shares his experience with me, you know, and he'd give me a few options and say, in my experience and others, this kind of stuff works, and it's up to me to do it. You know, this is my personal responsibility. I've had some difficult times in recovery. And, you know, what NA has promised me, and these 12 sets have promised me, it's promised me the tools to live successfully. It's not promised me a life free of problems. You know, I still have problems. You know, I do. My girlfriend would tell me I'm full of problems. You know, but I just do what I see the people. I kind of imitate what I see people doing in recovery, and it kind of works. You know, I'm not perfect. So I take my foot off the gas sometimes. But what I try and do is I run this stuff past my sponsor, because I've got lots of blind spots in my thinking. You know, like you're driving a car, you know, with your mirrors, you've got that blind spot, you can't see everything. And he can see outside my vehicle, he can see my defects, you know, where I'm not quite perfect, you know, and I need that. Because when I try and do this stuff on my own, I just can't do it. You know, I tried to do this stuff from when I was a kid, I'll finish up here because I'm coming up to 15 minutes, but when I started out as a kid, you know, I wanted to do things my way, you know, and I tried it for 32 years, and I made a mess of it, you know, a complete mess of it. You know, I ruined a lot of lives, you know, including my own. And what I've been given the opportunity in recovery is to put a lot of stuff right, you know, to clear up the wreckage of my past, you know, and not continue to do that and harm others. And that meeting that I walked into 2 years ago, I actually robbed. I mean, I won't say where it is, but actually I broke into that place when I started using it at 14, me and a couple of mates, and I had the keys to it. and we robbed it, and we stole some video equipment, and we made a film taking drugs. And a lot of those people in that video are dead, you know, because of the choices that they made. And they, you know, they didn't have choices, you know, they were addicts. But, you know, today I walked in that meeting, you know, years later, and I heard the message clearly this time. And today, you know, I do a bit of service there. I've got the keys to the building, you know, and I'm making amends to my community. You know, and it's thanks to NA, really. It's kind of saved my life, and I don't say that lightly. It really has, you know. Without this stuff, you know, there's no doubt in my mind. You know, I've seen a lot of friends die of this illness, and you know, it continues to kill people. So, if you're new around, you know, just link up and do what other people do that's there in recovery. You know, and it does work. And thanks for listening to me.